Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. So I was thinking about, you know, a lot of people love and, you know, the idea of being successful and doing, you know, good work and
having, I like more than the idea. I actually would like
well,
to be
yeah, it has to. Yeah, well, you gotta start with the idea first, you know.
Right.
Like, I want to be
not
successful.
Not in America.
Yeah.
I expect to drop out of this guy. Do you ever have an idea?
Okay. Yeah. Successful, but a lot of times you're missing the, you know, the key components to being successful. And there's one key component in Proverbs 14:23. It says, All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Mm. Nothing in life just happens. Believe it or not, it just doesn't happen. And anything of true significance, you know, involves a dream, right? A dream of sharing of that dream, talking about it. And of course, hard work to fulfill the dream. You need all three. You need, you know, dreamers, talkers, and doers, and builders, right?
Oh, yeah.
But some are just dreamers. They plan.
And plan some more.
And plan some more.
Ready, yeah. ready. You ever think about aiming? Aiming.
Yeah.
Fire.
Or firing.
And then you got those that just fire, aim, and aim.
Yeah, right.
No,
what just happened?
Put that
I just down. Got shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they just plan. They just plan and dream, and it's like, wait a minute. Are you going to do something with these plans, or are you just dreaming here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some of those that just talk. They talk.
Some.
Well, yeah, I guess a lot. Right.
Most.
It's like, oh, I get it now. I get it.
They talk. No walk. You know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, you can't just talk about it. You know, they love to share their dreams, love to share about what it's going to be like. And it's like, man, somebody's got to get in here and start doing something. There's a third component to all this is hard work. Don't go there. Then my eyebrows hit the top of the head.
Like a tournament.
I knew that was coming. So staying focused here. Hard work.
You were talking? What's that? This is good.
Yeah, talking only leads to poverty, but hard work is what brings a profit. And Proverbs 14:4 says that where there is no oxen, the manger is empty. But the strength of an ox comes from an abundant harvest. You know, it's diligence. It's being faithful. It's having all of three of these components. And they're all important because, you know, you can put a whole bunch of hard work and don't even have a plan, you know, and don't know what in the world are you doing? Spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You can talk about it, and you know what? Talking about it doesn't pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? You can, you know, it just doesn't get it done. And you can dream, but if you're just dreaming and you don't plan to put any feet.
No faith,
no action. It just doesn't happen. We need to be dreamers and talkers and talking the vision out and then actually working it out and seeing that vision come to pass.
So many people work so hard their whole life, don't they? And it's like, but this, like, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
And you've showed up several times at the nothing that you were headed for and you never knew that you got there and your life ends. You go, what was that?
Exactly.
What was that? You think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
And it's sad. You can, people arrive to a place on accident.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually arrive to a place on purpose.
Yeah. Living life on purpose.
What a concept.
Intentionality here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Starting your day on purpose makes me think about if you get a chance to go and listen to that on VFN Torch.
Mm.
Called Starting Your Day on Purpose.
Yes.
Purpose, which is purpose, power, and vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need strength, you need clarity, and you need a direction.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vision is so important. I know you've been listening to VFN Radio, We've spoken a lot about vision. I encourage you to go to the top of the torch, and you can go by to the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the moving torch, which was very nice. I like that moving torch. And you click that.
Very snazzy.
Yeah, snazzy. Yes, I don't
hold your hands over. You get real cold. You can get warmed up.
But you click that torch, and you go in the right hand, upper right-hand corner. You can type in the word vision. And you listen to some of these powerful segments because you really get encouraged. You need a vision. You need a vision.
Without it, you perish.
Without it, you perish. Mm-hmm. But once you got one, don't put it on your business card and do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know? I remember this one guy,
or never pass one out.
It's got to be big. It's got to be big. Big. A million versus like 50,000. Like so big vision, right?
A big vision. A big vision. A huge vision. Right. Then you got to work towards it.
It's important, though, to have steps in that because you'll defeat yourself having vision so big that it takes your entire lifetime to reach it.
That's right.
You can't attach your faith to it.
You know, a business sector would say intermediate goals.
Yeah.
That you know, you get that celebration. You need some things to check off and to celebrate and
feel good about.
Yeah, feel good about.
It's done. We're right. We're blazing through. We're halfway done. Right. But
I got a check mark.
Yeah, that's the value. One of my values, like accomplishment.
People who live on purpose, they actually like the check mark. That's a
that's a
rush.
Beautiful thing.
And think about it. That you can all day long, your day has to count for something. There's just some. You know, there's some people out there that just giving time.
You know, remember too that a person without a vision is at the mercy of the demon or the man who does. And a visionless people, that void will be filled by darkness, and you'll have people that will come in tyrannical leaders.
Oh yeah,
and begin to say, "Okay, I'm going to lead you." And because people are visionless, they're destroyed because they'll be taken. I mean, think about Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, Hitler led a visionless people into a place of just horrific tragedy.
Yeah.
But if they would have had a vision, they would have known this particular person's vision is against our vision, so I'm not going to, you know, exercise my voting power. Because he got voted in. You know, Hitler got voted into office.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stories about the number of votes. But if they would have known clarity, you can line your values up.
It was a visionless society. It was a visionless society. Here comes this person who comes in with his vision.
His one man's vision.
Think about that.
That came from hell.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. Which shows you the power of kingdom vision.
That's right.
Because you look at where one man, you know, when you think about Charles Seymour, you think about William Booth, you think about Oral Roberts, you think about Steve Hill, whoever.
Right.
Where one man got a vision for a kingdom vision.
That's right.
And just, or, you know, Todd down in South Africa, he has a vision for can a nation be one in a day?
Yeah.
And he literally can stir nations up because his vision is for nations, which is an overwhelming vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You start thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Like 50,000, like a drop in a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's big. I mean, it's huge.
But he has faith for it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a lot of people are just dreaming just a dream, but they have no faith whatsoever to attach itself. And you want to make sure that whatever you're dreaming, whatever you're believing for, you can actually have faith to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know,
we think about it, we're literally reaching princes now on
VFM
radio. And they're connecting to us and we're reaching the world. You know, Kumar right here just joined us over in northern India. And we're just so glad to have you. Obviously, we can't call everybody out, but it's just amazing how that God's into nations. He says, listen, that if you ask me, and this is when you write your vision out, kingdom vision, is the reason why people ask and don't get, because they ask amiss, they ask outside the will of God. Mm-hmm. But this is his will. He wants the nations. He says, make disciples of nations. He says, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. As an inheritance.
Mm.
And this inheritance in the kingdom is so big that you're not going to be able to even digest it. You just got to say, thank you for this inheritance.
Right.
Or some people, you know, say, well, you know, I knew all this all along. It's like, this thing is so big that you can't even wrap your 2 cents around it. You just have to just go, wow, look what you're doing. Look what you're giving us, you know, in the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. But yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's one man, you know, one vision, one God, And nothing's stoppable with that.
That's right.
Wow.
You have God. You know, I think it was Reinhard Bunke who said, you're a zero, right? We're all zeros. We're no one.
Right.
But if we come alongside the number one, Jesus, we become a 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if another zero joins us together, we become 100.
Right.
And then if another zero comes 1,000, there's 10,000 of us. There's 100,000 of us. There's a million of us.
If one could put 1,000 in flight, 2 10,000 exponential. Exactly.
You know?
The exciting thing is that when other people hear the same vision, what's coming from heaven, and say, yeah, I'm in agreement with what God is doing, and then you begin to see an army.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
An army just gathering together because we're hearing the orders from God for this generation. And we're beginning to see the formulation. That's why you see a flaming torch.
Mm-hmm.
On VFN TV, because that represents the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. Remember, Gideon had this torch, and that keeping that light, you know, shining, giving you hope. Understand that despite what's going on, right before the breakthrough, it's always its darkest hour.
Yeah.
It's always the darkest hour. And when you think about it, Jesus being born, and mm-hmm. what was going on with all the death of the babies and Moses and all those. The enemy just tries everything to be able to stop what he's doing, which means he knows he's about to be out. He's about to lose something. And we're seeing this great, you know, escalation, quick escalation. Mm-hmm. That's how you really know when they're throwing like, is that the sink that just came at us?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the kitchen sink that just came? Okay. That's a good sign. People say, they're throwing the kitchen sink. You go, that's praise God. They're thinking it's over because if they're throwing the kitchen sink, I don't want to talk about all that, but see, I'm just telling you that because you don't have a vision like you're saying, John, you'll be destroyed in all that.
Mm-hmm.
You have no restraint during mm-hmm. that, because vision, people without vision cast off restraint. That's what the NIV says, and what restrains us is that vision. And so we're like water.
Yeah.
You know, we're like water when the enemy's coming in like a flood. We're just a flood with the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But vision helps us make decisions. It helps us have a clear life. It gives us a reason to continue to stand.
Yeah.
It gives us hope. And it gives us an opportunity to love God through our faith, believing him for that vision to take place.
Yeah. Not to mention the energy and the excitement that God stirs within us when we have kingdom vision. And we go after it, you know, because that's what kingdom vision does. God vision does, just stirs you up in your spirit. And now you're sharing it. You're talking about it. Other people are hearing it. And then all of a sudden, what we talked about, this group starts gathering, this kingdom army starts gathering to fulfill the vision that God has, you know, set forth.
Right.
It takes all three: dreaming, vision, talking, sharing about it, and doing hard work.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds, everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with him forever and doing what he's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible, and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we were excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women
who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go amen. To meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We've got good news for you, that our God is in control today. If you've been going through a particular rough time, if you're looking around and seeing some peculiar instances that are taking place and some things that just don't make sense to you, and you're trying to think logically what's going on, what if people lost their mind, the answer to that's yeah, but God will actually heal a mind.
That's right.
And God prepares for himself. He suddenly when you think it's totally over, when you think it's totally over, and I mean, you think about Israel. I mean, you just think about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You just think about them. And in the context of that, they were under bondage. The entire nation was under bondage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. I just need that thing, that blinder thing.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so then I got to close my eyes to see this.
There you go. Yeah.
And so I see why.
Yeah.
And be still. Okay.
And know.
We are simple people. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Be still and know.
And know.
Where am I? Okay, so an entire nation, God's chosen people. I mean, the people, the covenant people with God. The entire nation is under captivity at this particular time. And the king that was next in line, his name was Ahabish, or Ahab short.
That's interesting. Oh,
wow. Learned something new.
It was more like the, and he was into a lot of wrong things, even though he still was king. He still was a leader. He was into a lot of stuff, and he thought it was no big deal. He thought God was no big deal. Mm. And he had a piercing experience in his future that would prove that God was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
As he bled out on Naboth's property. But anyway, and then he married into money. No, he married into power. No, he thought, and it's amazing how this works, but he thought that, you know, was father. You know, his father said, this would be a great, great kingdom decision. Why don't you just marry, you know, so-and-so's daughter, you know. She's got a few issues, you know, a few false gods and stuff, but, you know, that'll give us
just
know,
a few.
A merger just a few. Of kingdom, you know, we'll be like the United, I don't know, League of Ahab. Anyway, the and so League of Nations. And so, you know, with that, it got really bad. And as soon as they got into power, they began to put czars in places, you know, their sons. They did. They began to just put their, they began to change all the judges. This is what a king does. I mean, as a matter of fact, America, actually, you know, when a new president gets in office, they begin to put new judges in all these different, that's one of the biggest things people understand, that all of a sudden the judges that you stand before who judge you based on the context of the congressional laws that are passed, that a sweeping change happens across the judiciary, across the federal court systems. And so, of course, there's a transition of power. It was already in darkness, but he gave his ring up to his wife because she had a great ability. She was outgoing, outspoken, demanding, and didn't have any problem killing people. Once she declared, well, it's amazing too. At the same time, is that she acted like she was under him. You know, signing his name is like, if you're all powerful, sign your name.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you're legitimately there, why do you need his business card? You know, if you're really who you say you are, sir, why do you need someone else's letterhead? Did you just send my letter?
You signed my name.
Just sign my name to that. And what it was is, you know, it's obviously seduced power. There, it's not legitimate, and it's not good. And of course, once you put all this new government in, you gotta thicken that thing up. The once you get this, once you get this government in, that's when things begin to change because they begin to make new rules and new laws, and the people were just under oppression. I mean, it was really bad. You had to go to her parties. You'd go to parties, you'd be in trouble. You had to worship her gods. You had to listen to her prophets, you know, her whole religion. And Ahab would go, that's right. She's right. And you're looking at him going, what? And he's like, okay, I'll just talk to her. Just got to bypass you. It's just not going to work talking to you. Whoever the true head is, can it stick it up so we can either talk to it or take it off? Anyway, and so it's looking really bad. I mean, it's the opposite of God. I mean, they're provoking God. They're setting up false, you know, Baals and Asherah poles and creating a whole new schools of ministry that train up people that line up with false doctrine. Just a whole new, we would say today, where did that gospel come from? And everybody ends up in darkness and bondage and all that. And wow, man. I am really not talking about America, but it just keeps flashing in my mind when I'm actually talking about this. And I'm saying this because, listen, God, if you cry out to God, if you position yourself, and hopefully soon it's going to be available to you on VFN TV, at VFNTV.com, at least the VFN TV store, you're going to be able to go in and get, you know, facing, what is the how King Jehoshaphat, you know, facing impossible odds with God will bring possible victories in your life. Understanding if we do what God says, which basically leads us back to a place of humility and under him and his headship in our life again, and an abiding relationship with him, all of a sudden he just switches things. And you had Elijah and Elijah, and these were prophets of God. And for some reason, Ahab hated. I mean, there was nothing that Elijah could do to make Ahab happy. Other than lie to him. And of course, Elijah couldn't lie to him. So it's like, what is up with this? Why are you so frustrated, you know, in Elijah's presence, the spirit of Elijah? And it's like, Ahabius. And so you think it's, I mean, at that point, you know, and so many people just go, listen, it's gone. It's gone. And you would think it really would because it was pretty crazy. And, but all of a sudden God speaks to a prophet. He speaks to Elisha and he says, I want you to go down and I want you to, find this particular man and his name is Jehu. And think about one man. God had a plan that he was going to use this one man that was going to begin to restructure things. And he so understood Jezebel and Ahab that he kept his distance from them.
All right.
And so Elijah runs into this room with no witnesses, throws his hands on Jehu, you know, and gets the anointing, takes off, runs, And the people around Jehu going like, what was that? What was going on? You would think when things happen like that, you're like, wouldn't it have been nice, you know, if, I don't know, Jezebel was around there or something like that. And the thing about it is, if she saw it, she would have had your head. Mm-hmm. You know, immediate war would have been waged against you. Because that means that demonic power is about to come down.
That's right.
And so that's the reason why it's done that way. And then, of course, you have the journey to be able, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And long story short, God was raising this man up, Jehu, with anointing to be able to restructure things. And he able to single-handedly, by his God's anointing and leadership in his life, bring in a whole new governmental structure. mm-hmm. I mean, he changed. When he came in, heads were rolling. Heads were rolling. You know, people say, man, when they come in the room, heads roll. Well, when you talk about Jehu coming to the room, literally. Heads rolls. It was literally all those people that this demonic government, people of God who are under the oppression of Satan, who've given themselves over to God, over to God of this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, a king and a queen. Now, obviously, the king was the one that was chosen. The God said, you know, I regretted the day I ever asked you to pastor. Mm-hmm. God's regrets. Woof. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when he comes in, he was had such an anointing to be able to restructure government. The heads would roll. And what it was the heads of Jezebel's sons, Ahab's sons, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to go for the head. You spend all your time, I think about what we talked about yesterday in 9/11, that they tried to take down America's financial district from the bottom up, and during President Clinton's administration. Mm-hmm. And they found out that it has to start with the head. Mm-hmm. Because they came back on 9/11 and hit the same financial towers, twin towers, at the top with two aircraft, and they came down. But one, the foundation was exploded back in the President Clinton's administration, mm-hmm. and it just created a lot of smoke and turmoil, but it stood. But if you go to the head, mm-hmm. If the head is right, the body's right, if the body lines up with the head. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden he comes in there and he begins to just restructure, you know, we need some new judges, you know, we need some new, you know, parliament around here, you know, we need some new Congress. I mean, just things begin to get restructured in the church context. And that's what we're talking about, that all of a sudden you either got to bow your knee to Jesus or you got to surrender your whatever and move on. I mean, sort of like the atheist that's over that mega church that was on ABC News with a little black line across his face going, I'm an atheist and this is the only trade I know, so I can't tell my congregation.
Wow.
It's like, did you ever have a clue that Lucifer was over you? Did it just cross your mind that you had the Antichrist preaching Jesus Christ? Which he actually, what did he do? He edited out all those things in his messages and he turned into a social justice message is basically what he had said. We had that on the VFN Torch. You can actually see his interview on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And so the heads change. Think about that. It was pretty bad. I mean, everybody was in darkness and everybody was in all. When you think about Baal, that's the works of your hands and bowing down to, you know, fantasy and sexuality, wrong things sexually, and all these, just everything that was going on in the Kibbutz was dark. Everything that God said don't do happens under Ahab and Jezebel. And what's so interesting about it, under a spirit of religion, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta realize, just because you're religious doesn't mean you're right. Mm. You know, you gotta stay humble, because we're all susceptible to anything the enemy can do. I mean, we're human, like everybody's human. And that big enough disclaimer for we won't have that joke. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Alan Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Alan Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. With over 25 years of experience, no job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so he comes in and begins to have a party, because they're used to going to party. You got to go to parties for when she has a party, you got to go. Because she's not having the party for you, by the way. Jezebel does not have parties for you, and you're not on the invite list for you. She or he, it's not a gender, is trying to bring people around them that give them a sense of value and importance so they can be celebrated. So if you're not on the list, if you're not on the invite list, you should celebrate that. Because obviously you're probably have something like a spirit of Elijah on you. And you're the last person that Jezebel wanted at dinner, Ahab. And so But this is how the party would go, by the way. You may have been to one of these parties. You know, all of a sudden, she's having this big to-do. You have the invite list, the little cards with your name. Everybody's placed exactly where this particular person wants them placed, you know. And governmental dinners. And in her government. And, but all of a sudden, Ahab walks in like a, like a storm, just like comes in the room, but it's already been done. I mean, he's just showing up at her party, at her glory, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's there just acting like he's something. But the truth is, you know, it's Jezebel's party that she invited him, and he's talking to people. Everybody's listening to him because they know that he actually is the king. But they realize, I mean, you got to tolerate him, but you got to go find out what's going to go on with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now it says you just got to, you just got to, you can't, because he is the king and he could take your head off, especially if you, if you confront him with his reality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Elijah, and I mean, just snap, boy, you lose your head because, you know, the king. And so I'm just talking about biblical perspective of hope now. And with that, the, so he'll come in, and it's any gender, but this example, Ahab will come in, and all of a sudden he's just, you know, talking to people, touching people, talking to what's going on, hey, what's happening, every this kind of stuff, and everybody's listening. But they have no problem when he walks away because it's meaningless. It's meaningless. There's nothing to it. It's only wind. It's only wind. You know, if you believe the wind, then you're going to be gone with the wind because there's no substance behind somebody whose power has been seduced.
Right.
Authority's been seduced. And save your time. Just go to Jezebel and find out what's going to be happening.
There you go.
You know, save him the humiliation from having to come back and say, you know, I know I said yes yesterday, but I was praying. So what did you say when you were praying to her? I would, but my other half won't let me. Well, obey God. Who's your other half, Satan? Anyway, so I'm having fun today. And this is what was going on. Was this not going on in Israel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he says, he tells us in the word, he tells us in his word that we have the word of God to instruct us, to encourage us. Encourage us.
I went there too.
Oh my goodness. God, I have a great future in store. And so then, and then suddenly, all these parties are going on, all this evil's happening, and they think they're going to be forever there.
Mm-hmm.
In this small area, in the corner of nowhere, runs a prophet who lays his hands on the man that when he arrives, heads roll. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
So, of course, they're all used to going to parties. So the first thing that Jehu does when he comes to begin to restructure the church government. Now we're talking about, we're not talking about the world here. Church government. He said, let's have a party. You want to have a party? Let's have a party. You want to have a party? We're going to go down in this valley and we're just going to, we're going to let it rip. Everybody who loves Jezebel and Ahab's gods. I mean, we're going to, it's going to be everything that they offered you. All the darkness, all the evil, all the, you know, debauchery you want, you know, I mean, it's going to be like Burning Man right there, right there in the middle of all of that. And get ready to dance around the fires, get ready to just dive in. Of course, that's pretty much what happened to people who bought into, who didn't stay separate from what this evil government began to do over God's people. And so they're showing up. I mean, these are standard parties. You know, they realize they're showing up for Jezebel, but they get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jezebel controls you by what she gives you. And as long as you continue to take from them, it, or government, her government, then you will be her slave. And say what you want to, but if you're lining up for what she gives you every month, boom. I'm the man around here. Yeah, sure. Great. See you at the mailbox. Anyway, so the and so in that, he throws this party, and they're used to going to the party, but this time he goes down to the party. Well, actually, he was on his way to the party. He was on his way to the party. And this is God raising up hope. I mean, think about it. It still looks dark. Everybody's doing dark. Remember, there's a big dark party going on. The very person that you overheard somebody at Starbucks, that said that they would follow God. Now they're actually having a party for the same people that always party with Jezebel. I was like, this is the same. There's nothing changing, right? It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. Slow to speak. And so then, so he's heading out to go deal with this, you know, restructuring situation. And this one particular man comes running down the trails, and all of a sudden, Jehu stops him. Like, where are you going? And he goes, I was just going to Jezebel's. It was like, of all the people to run into and of all the things to say, and I said, that was a positive thing, right? I'm thinking, oh, bless his heart. That was it, brother. It was
it. Going down.
That's it.
Which is exciting, the day that people begin to stand up and call stupid stupid and call wrong wrong, call dark dark, and yes, yes, and no, no. I mean, it's beautiful days when things are so clear.
Right.
Only to those who are looking for yes and no's from
That's
God.
Right.
It is terrible clarity. When people know it's not complicated, it really bothers them. I'm a little confused here. What? That you don't want to follow God? What's the confusion part here? And so he goes to the party, and this is how merciful God is. God touches Jehu, and Jehu goes through the party, all the people in the valley, and begins to look around to make sure the only ones at this party were the ones that were loyal to Jezebel and Ahab, the ones that sat at her table, the ones that ate her food, the ones that bowed at Herosheth and his Baal and all that stuff. And he was making sure, because you know what? Heads were about to roll. And every one of those that chose another god, as if there was one,
right,
as if she could have created one or he could have created one, then they went to go see their god. But first they had to go to the throne of the God and be judged, because they all died in that valley.
Yeah.
And then he went and began to just behead. He removed the heads of, I mean, now he didn't like say, come on out, you're the head. He severed the thing between the chin and the the clavicles, the shoulders. He just cut their heads off. He just cut their heads off. And of course, what happened in the natural in the Old Testament, we walk out in the spiritual. Now you got to begin to cut the head off of the snake. You got to cut, but not physically cut. You just deal with it in the name of Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the last thing he dealt with at a distance, was her. Because remember, Ahab already bled out. He already bled out. And of all the things, see, you served her all those years. Let me tell you something. I know you're dead now, but listen. You served her all those years, and you bled out on Naboth's property, and you didn't listen to any warning God gave you. And now she's the only one left on the throne, and she's about to go down. But notice, she's there and you're not. The obvious is obvious now. And so Jehu's heading her way. He's heading her way. Obviously, she has a hint now that all of her party favors are dead. All of her sons are dead. She heard that Jehu was coming, and he has the ability to restructure government. And of all the things she could be doing, John, she starts putting on her makeup. You could think of today. He starts moosing it up and tuning his instrument. He starts getting his rhythmic rhymes out, and how he can blend and shake and move and cause these things to happen orically. He's getting ready to orate. New word. Why? Because you're fixing to be seduced. Everything that person has, male or female, they're going to kick it into high gear. Every tool, everything, every song, every flattering word, every seducing look, makeup, of all the things she was doing, she was brushing her makeup because she knew, I've got to take him down too. And let me tell you something. Don't think that you're above being taken down. I mean, even Jehu stood at a distance in dealing with her. He didn't go lay hands on her. And this is not a gender. I mean, but it was in this case. And she was there because of Ahab. There is no Jezebel, by the way, without an Ahab. The only authority Satan can have is the one that's surrendered from the authority of themselves. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I was thinking about you guys, and thinking about our VFN radio listeners, you guys have been just connecting with us. We are so appreciative of just the great conversation that we're all joining together as we continue to encourage God's people. But I was thinking about McDonald's. I know that it's one of Chris's favorite places. And as I was thinking...
Which one?
Mickey D's.
Oh, Mickey D's. He does tend to venture out a little bit.
We know that he likes to visit for lunch, you know, quite a bit. It's interesting how he just kind of slips out the studio and slips back in. Just
disappears.
Where is Chris? And then there's a quick beeline, you know, to where he has to go. But I hear the rumbling, the crisp bag, you know, just mm-hmm. bumping up against his leg as he's racing by. And I smell an aroma coming from over there, and I see that pretty large bag of Mickey D's. Did you bring some for the rest of us? No. He's very quiet right now.
Yeah.
He's very quiet. Well, Chris, I want you to know. I want you to feel good about this because maybe it's coming to America, right? But right now in Japan, you can order French fries, but not a regular, you know. They went from the large to the super size. Now they have the mega.
Oh, come on.
Mega potato. It is double the large size.
Oh my goodness.
It is double. Now, you know how many calories are in a regular? I mean, I don't know.
There's not, you can't even count them. Yeah. There's so many.
I stopped doing fries just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. You let go of the fries, huh?
I let go.
Thank you, Jesus. He repented.
But somebody did ask me for some fries yesterday. I won't name any names.
Okay, don't name any names. It's not necessary. Just confess your own sin, okay? But listen, I mean, fries. I don't know what they put in these fries, but let me tell you, they're addictive. Those fries are good. Mm-hmm. Their fries are good. But I don't know if you knew this. This is the Daily News is reporting that it weighs, this mega potato weighs about 3/4 of a pound, and it clocks in at 1,142 calories.
Oh my
gosh.
Oh my goodness.
57 grams of fat and 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's the whole potato that
No, it's a I don't know if it's a whole potato, but they call it the mega potato. It's a double. You should see the picture. We might have a picture of this.
Is it an order of fries?
It's an order of fries. Oh, okay. But it's a double order of large fries.
Right.
It's You need two hands to hold the container. You need two hands to hold the container.
Grief.
And apparently this is one of those like limited promotion things that they're running.
Let's
it's
hope.
In Japan. Well, it's in Japan. Hopefully it won't come over here. And normally you can get, I think, a whole meal for $5. These potatoes alone cost $5.
Grief.
So, you know, clue. Stay away from the potatoes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. He steps to a distance, and he looks up to her place where she was at. And he tells the eunuchs that are around here, and that's who's around Jezebel. They're eunuchs. That's why you think about 95% of the church can't reproduce. It's because we have Jezebelic spirits over our nation. Mm-hmm. We have religious lockdown over our nation. If 95% of Christians don't lead one person, they cannot reproduce one person in the kingdom of God, not just one. Mm-hmm. You can't have one baby. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
People who don't even know God walk out with the baby and think, we don't even know how this happened. It's like, you know, Christians can hang around for 25 years and not reproduce. That's a sign. It's like Jezebel has eunuchs around her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has to have eunuchs around her because she'll seduce them. And so then, man, this is good stuff. This is the hope. Everything's happening. You're thinking, oh my goodness, Jehu's about to go down because, you know, she seduced even Ahab, king of Israel.
And here comes Jehu coming up there, and he stands at a distance, and he tells the eunuchs around her, says, throw her out. Just throw her out the window. Can you imagine how that would play on the New York Times?
Yeah, right.
Throw her out of the mega church. Right. Throw her out of the coffee shop. You know, throw her out of the whatever, the storefront. You know, throw her out of the, I don't know. They throw this body out and say, throw her out. They throw the queen of Israel by marriage, an evil covenant. He was in the evil covenants, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Out, and she lands on the ground near Jehu's feet, and horses come and begin to stomp on her. I bet you Jehu was on one of those horses, because he was on a horse dealing with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Mercedes by then. And she was just stomped in the ground. And understand this, I know I'm talking a little bit long on this, but that's how God feels about this. Because you're putting yourself up as God. You're allowing somebody else to put themselves up as God, and you're worshiping them. We're getting a picture of Revelation chapter 2, the church of Thyatira. And we're understanding this is how God feels about someone who calls themselves a prophet or a prophetess that are misleading God's people. And God's watching from the throne room. And the heavenly host is watching, and all the angels are watching, and Jehu is there, and all the Israel is watching as this one who brought great destruction and led God's people into great darkness. And it's no gender, but this is the case in this instance. And stomps her body into the ground. Horse is 2,000 pounds, man. I mean, mm-hmm. One step of a horse breaks, smushes everything. You can imagine. And after she was just broken to pieces by the hoofs of horses, it makes you want to repent, don't it? Mm-hmm. It's like, dear God, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you want to repent. You think, sir, ma'am, it'd make you want to repent.
That's right.
And then the dogs come and they eat her. Mm. Everything but her hands is left there. That's a symbolism for us to let us know. I mean, it's a reality, but it's to let us know this, that Revelation chapter 2 was not the Old Testament. Mm. And the church of Thyatira is a real thing. And no matter how hard you're working, if you tolerate Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess or calls himself a prophet, and they're leading God's people, they're standing behind something, speaking behind it, leading God's people astray, or standing out on their own, leading God's people astray. This is your doom. He says, you will enter in the same bed of suffering as Jezebel, right? Mm-hmm. What is her suffering? Cast out, stomped down by the hoofs of horses. Check it out. Look, let me read Revelation. They're coming on white horses, whose clothes are saturated with blood, stamping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's stepping on all those who said, I am God. Mm. God's not God. But if you don't tolerate her, if you just do what God says and line up what he says, I'll give you authority over the nations. God reserved for himself a man by the name of Jehu and laid his hands on him. And he received an anointing that was able to begin to restructure. And if you listen to people that God is calling to this generation, begin to listen to them and don't listen to what's been seduced in the darkness, just separate yourself from what's wrong and enter into what's right. You can enter into the fullness and the blessing, because under Jehu, Israel came into the light. It's time for us to go back to the light. There's hope. But on a lighter moment, as we're closing, I just want to share that I came home last night and Donna had a beautiful, nice spaghetti meal waiting for me.
Wow.
With meatballs.
Whoa.
With me, like 400 meatballs. So talk about it. It was like,
she knows.
Well, like, here's a question. Like, are there any leftovers? Are there any?
Let's move on. Think about that. I just envision a meatball sub, like bam, like that quick.
Wow.
So like, I guess that means
no.
Yeah, no. We're not gonna get any.
I'll have to verify that. I trust, but I gotta verify it. You know?
I was wondering what was on your shirt.
And so that's what's under my shirt is definitely the meatballs. And so listen,
And so she's telling me what happened with, she was on her, online, and she saw a homemade recipe for tub and shower cleaner. Homemade recipe for tub and shower cleaner. And it just said specifically, this is how you make it. You know, it was a half cup of white vinegar, a half cup of original Blue Dawn dish soap, 4 tablespoons of baking soda, and an empty spray bottle. You're supposed to heat the vinegar up for like 90 seconds, and when you get it all together and you spray it on something, let it sit for about 90 seconds or something, you wipe it up. Well, she's like, I'll try. That's pretty good. I'll try that. And so she starts following this
recipe.
This recipe.
What happened?
But, dude, oh my goodness.
what melted?
In the kitchen, man. Ooh. I'm coming home, and it's like,
goodness. I mean,
she mixed all that stuff up and sealed the top of that bottle. And when you mix all those ingredients up, it makes a chemical cleaning. I mean, like, she put it together, and all of a sudden that bottle got bigger and bigger, and she's trying to get the top off, and top to cut, finally thing goes boom.
No.
It went all over the walls, all over the kitchen, all over the sink. I mean, it went everywhere, man.
Oh my gosh.
You know, you got to be careful. You got to be really careful what you see on the internet. Because when she mixed vinegar, Dawn dishwashing soap, and a couple tablespoons of baking soda, she said, I might have used too much. Then all of a sudden, when she put it in the plastic bottle, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. Like, I guess, like a. She started thinking, I think they make like volcanoes for like classrooms.
Right. And Science project.
It went boom, and it went all over her, all over the kitchen cabinet, all over everything. And so I just had a great dinner last night. As I had this great spaghetti
meal, meatballs.
That's what I was going to ask.
And I got to enjoy that my wife made a cleaning dirty stuff in the, I guess the, what is it called? The Ajax.
Ajax.
The Ajax.
Homemade Ajax.
Yeah.
Mm. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today. Taqueria Ogi's, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.